You're listening to The Wilder Podcast. I'm your host, Carson Dupree. This is episode one. Uno. Hey, everybody. What's going on? Was that okay? Does that work? Okay, so this is my first episode of the podcast, and this is something that I've been talking about on the blog, kind of like on and off, secretly hinting, all this kind of stuff for quite some time now. And this first episode is actually an introductory episode for the new listeners and readers who aren't familiar with my blog, haven't been following me on Instagram, and kind of just want to know who the hell I am and how I got here and why I'm doing what I'm doing. Why a podcast? Why? And this introductory episode is obviously episode uno in my podcast series. So yeah, before we dive in, I just want to let you know that I am so excited to do this. This is probably the coolest passion project that I have done in the past few years that I have been on my own, kind of having my own business and doing different things on social media and stuff. This is by far the thing that I feel like I'm the most passionate about and that I'm going to be able to make the most waves with. Wilder is a space for women, wellness, and weirdos. So this is actually going to be my little nugget baby to all of the listeners to be able to inspire and interview all these women that are incredible and that I've personally found inspiration from throughout the past few years. And most of them are women that whose podcasts that I listen to, women whose products I use, women whose blogs I read, women who I follow their journey, and I definitely have a lot in common with them, and I feel like you might too. I also have been really focusing on women in my Nashville area as well. So you're going to get a taste of women from all over and also women from where I am, just so that you can kind of get an idea of what it's like over here in my neck of the woods. So I'm really excited. Mostly everybody that I'm going to interview is going to have a different perspective of something. And you may relate 100%. You may relate 0%, but I think that everybody's story is individual to them, and I think that we can learn something from everyone, right? And we're going to cover a lot of topics. We are going to swear. We are going to do all of these things. We're going to talk about controversial stuff. It's going to be kind of all over the place, but we're always going to come back to the concept. When I was 5, my parents got divorced. And yeah, you're like, oh my God, this is the very beginning. Holy shit. She was like, I'm going to go back to the beginning. I didn't know the beginning of history. No. I just want to kind of start with that because a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, that's why you had so many issues when you were younger. And maybe, but consciously, that's not really what I was dealing with in my own head. But from a very young age, I was affected by emotional trauma, in quotes. I was always a little chubby, on the chubbier side. I was heavier. Like by the time I was in fifth grade, I was 5'6", and I was, I think, a size 22. I had lost all of my teeth. I had started my period by the age of 9. I was really, really dealing with a lot of random health weirdness. And a lot of people just thought I was like, you know, obese and like childhood obesity, drinking lots of soda, eating lots of fast food. And I feel like I was probably eating like a standard amount of fast food for the, you know, with the standard American diet that my family kind of abided by. We still ate a lot of like healthier versions of it, that a lot of like kind of diety foods, because our whole, you know, family was kind of trying to stay health conscious due to the fact that me and my brother, you were a nugget too, Hunter. My brother Hunter was a nugget as well as I was. And my mom, she knew that there was a deeper cause to my weight gain and my really, really fast like maturing. So my mother took me to like a series of doctors, and after like kind of like years and years of chasing this weird little thing, like whatever's wrong with me, I was diagnosed with a pituitary adenoma. Which is basically like a tiny little, they called it a pencil eraser sized tumor in my pituitary gland that was, they theorize, affecting my growth. and causing all these different like hormonal problems with me. I was insulin resistant. I was on metformin. I was like, everybody's thinking I'm like pre-diabetic and like all this stuff. And, you know, I'm in the high 200 pounds and I'm a young kid at this point. And it was scary. And I was, I was trying to live as normal as possible. I was in the gifted and talented programs at school. I was taking like college classes. I was just doing my best. Boys didn't have any interest in me. I had a lot of friends. This is not me feeling sorry for myself at all. Like this, I feel like that's what it sounds like. Basically, it didn't matter that I had an actual legitimate health problem. The bullying and the psychological abuse that I took on at being such a young age was so hard. And I think that I just really buried it deep down and just kind of self-judged myself and just kind of always felt like I was never going to be enough or never, it was never enough. Like though I was smart and made 100s, I was, you know, not as small as my best friend, or like I couldn't shop at Abercrombie and Fetch and I really wanted to and I couldn't fit into those clothes. And if anybody out there like knows what I'm talking about, like, you know what I'm talking about. Can you nod for me? I was like shopping at Kato, and there's nothing wrong with shopping at Kato, but like plus size stores whenever you're in elementary school, it's a little frustrating. And God bless her. My mom did the best that she could, I guess. But it was kind of hard. And I think that even the abuse and the bullying from other people kind of like bubbled inward, and I did eat more because I was bigger, and people always put that on me like, here, you know, Carson's gotta finish her plate. And I remember like even like my stepdad being like, you've got one bite left, you're not gonna eat that, or like whatever. Like I remember being like little things just always messing with me when it came to food, and I just like resented everybody for it. And I remember whenever I was in like third grade, I think my grandpa, I had a Dr. Pepper in my hand, and I'm chubby at this point, and I was still struggling with my pituitary adenoma at the time, undiagnosed at this time. And he like took it from my hand and told me that I didn't need that and I'd had enough. And I just remember being horrified. I was picked on by girls and guys. I had a boy pretend to be my boyfriend. His name was Connor. Hey, Connor, you're not listening to this, I'm sure. But he told me that it was because he felt sorry for me. It's just like a bunch of just bullshit that I totally felt was justified because I was a bigger girl. And I got called fat all the time. And I grew up and I was 14. I remember. And my dad, who had been gone for a few years, when he came back around, I think at my heaviest. So again, I was like up there towards 300 pounds. I was 14 or 15 and he was getting married. And I remember seeing the wedding photos from the wedding and I was just mortified. I was wearing like, you know, I was in this wedding with all these other women and I was a teenager. And it was just ridiculous. I was still like making 100s in school, and all of that was still perfect. I had a great group of friends. I think I started smoking weed and drinking on the weekends with my friends. Like I was experimenting with the normal teenager partying lifestyle or whatever in a small town. You know how it kind of starts early, pastor parties, that kind of stuff. And I even went to high school. I remember in ninth grade, I was a little, still had my choppy emo hair, my eyeliner. But after that first year in high school, I was like, this is going to be the summer before my 10th grade year that I'm going to like lose all this weight. I'm going to really do it. And you know what? And no one's going to recognize me. I'm going to go back and they're like going to be like, who's that hot girl? That's Carson. Oh my gosh. So that was my goal going into 10th grade. This whole time, my family, like, we're so close and we were really tight. And that was not an issue for me, but it had nothing to do with them at this point. And so that summer, I rode my bike. I had a cruiser, you know, like those really with the big seat, you know, like, why would you ever ride a bike without a big seat? One, two, it was super hot and it was Texas. And so it was like, I think I was riding my bike in like 110 degree heat every day. I would ride like few miles, and then I was eating really clean, quote. I guess it wasn't clean. Diet food. I was eating like reduced fat Triscuits, and I was trying to eat less. If I could get away with like the littlest amount of food I could get away with, I was still hating my body. I don't know. I became obsessed with the Food Network, which is really common in people that struggle with like food stuff and like disordered eating. And obviously I had no idea. I just thought I was learning about food, and the more you know, the stronger you are or whatever. And so I come back to school after losing 40 pounds that summer, which was, I guess that's a lot for the time. I didn't really see a difference. I didn't really feel more confident at all. But I remember teachers being like, wow, you look so great. And like family members being like, you look so good. Wow, good job, good job. And you know, whenever someone tells you good job, and whenever you start getting more attention from people that like are supposed to love you, whenever you lose weight and you're like putting yourself through something so terrible and you feel so awful about yourself all the time, it sucks, but it kind of fuels the fire. You're like, oh shit, I'm getting more attention. People like actually are acting like they love me more now. I better keep doing what I'm doing. And people even, I feel like, were like, keep doing what you're doing because you look great. And I'd be like, oh wow, I guess you're right. And I had stopped going to the doctor. You're like, what about this pituitary adenoma? Like, I thought you had a serious medical condition. Well, it was a benign tumor. And they were like, we're just going to check on it every few years and just peace out. Like, take your meds and whatever. I stopped taking the medicine that summer and I just like ditched it. And I did lose some weight and I didn't check back up on that for a few years. So at this point, I wasn't going to the doctor or anything. So that 10th grade year was the year of like, I lost a lot more weight that year. I don't even know, probably like 60 more pounds. Yeah, like 60 more pounds during the year. I started smoking a lot. I was already smoking cigarettes, but I started smoking a lot more, smoking a ton of weed, which is, I do not think is a bad thing, by the way. But I was young and I was dumb and I was, you know, I had my license at this point, and yeah, my friends and I, we partied a lot, and I had the best, like these were the two of the coolest, most supportive people at the time. I mean, we grew apart, I guess, but we were super close. We were my soul sisters back then. And, I started getting more attention from guys, and that's actually whenever I met like the guy that like defined my teenagehood, you know? I had my first kiss when I was 16. So that year I had my first kiss, and I remember being that late bloomer that like didn't want anybody to know that she wasn't kissed. But, yeah, that was a lot. My friends were all like having sex and stuff, and I was like, had never been kissed. And I just, God, even thinking about being a teenager is stressing me out right now. So after that year was a lot of fun for me, and I really enjoyed all the attention that I got. And the next summer I was like, I'm going to get even smaller. I'm going to go even harder. Duh. Like, I have to get on my friend's level. I have to. And I was working really hard. Like, I don't think I was really eating at all. So in my head, I was, quote, working really hard at losing weight. And I was eating a bunch of like Special K bars and a bunch of diet food. And I was really just eating chemicals, drinking a ton of coffee to suppress my appetite, smoking a lot of cigarettes to suppress my appetite, partying a lot, like not eating anything beforehand, and just like binge drinking and just being around a lot of shady people. And I, you know, that's what I thought that I wanted to do at the time. Oh gosh, I forgot about this. So that year, the spring break, or maybe the summer of that year, I had been drinking with my friends, and I got this like call from my parents at like 3 a.m. and they were like, you need to get your ass home or something like that. And I was like, oh shit. We were in the middle of the country about like 30 minutes away from my home. And I was like, come on girls, we gotta go. So we hopped in the car, we like blasted some music, we're like laughing and looking at each other, and I'm driving, and I was going like 80 miles per hour, and I just drove right into a tree. I totaled my car and it fucked me up. Like, none of us were injured, thankfully. Like, hello, what? Mysteriously. And I don't think my parents even like really got onto us for that, which was cool at the time, but I was kind of traumatized. I felt really crazy, weird about it. And I kind of decided to not really drink that much after that. And I still don't drink that much after that. But I was without a car and I just started falling into this weird depression. I got a car shortly after that though. And the guy that I had been talking to that I was talking about, who I was like absolutely in love with at the time, thought I was, we kind of like drifted apart. And I saw that he was dating this girl that was like so much smaller than me. Like I'm talking tiny, tiny ballerina, tiny. And I just remember being so heartbroken. And I was like, I want to look like her. So I just kind of stopped eating. And I started abusing laxatives every time I did eat. And I ended up losing about, I don't even know. Who cares about the number? I was like 100 pounds. So going from like 300 pounds to like 100 pounds in the matter of like 2 years. So I'm in 11th grade at this point. And I went to my senior year being very small. Had a boyfriend, I think, a few boyfriends or dated boyfriends, loose quote. I don't know. I dated a bunch of random dudes, and I'd been getting so much more attention now that I was like a lot thinner, and I wasn't really eating anything. And my parents noticed, my family noticed. For those of you who are like, what about your family? I thought you were really close. Yeah, my family did notice, but they couldn't control me at all. It was definitely something that I was doing on my own. And I was super independent, and I was never home. And I had a job. I worked as a hostess at this restaurant, which was also really shady, and everybody was always drinking and snorting cocaine. It was very strange. What a weird job for me to have when I was 17. But I graduated that year. I graduated at the end of I started my senior year, but I was there for like a week, and I was like, I don't have any credits to do. And so I basically got my diploma early and then just chilled. I got a job, like I said, at this restaurant. And then the dude came back into my life, and I was so much smaller, right? And he did give me the attention that I wanted, and whatever I thought was going to happen with that relationship kind of happened, but we were never like official. And so it was always just messing with my head. And he would say like the worst types of things to me whenever I would open up to him about like, hey, I think that I'm like struggling with like this food thing. Like I'm like, I never eat. I always feel kind of dazed, and I feel like I don't know what to do. Like I can't, if I eat, I feel like I'm gonna gain all this weight back. Like, what do you think about that? And he would be like, oh, you're being stupid. You know, we're spiritual beings in a material world, and that just doesn't even matter. And I'd be like, I mean, he was right, I guess, but the way that he handled it was so like, it made me feel so, I was like, oh yeah, sorry. Like, you're right. I'm so stupid. It just reiterated that I was still not enough. Even in my struggling, it was not enough. It was not, you know, didn't matter to him. It didn't matter. Shouldn't have mattered. He kind of disappeared. Some crazy stuff happened between us, and he disappeared ish. Like, he called me a few times, and then I didn't hear from him for like, I don't know, 3 weeks, which was weird because we were together every single day. And then I found out he got a girl pregnant. He had been like with other girls, which is not a big deal, I guess. But to me, it broke my heart. I got a job at Barnes & Noble with my best friend, Addie, shortly after that. And my life started going a lot better. I realized that I like really needed to focus on myself, because I was getting really thin and I was so not happy. And I was starting to surround myself with more people, and so they were definitely paying more attention, and I wasn't as secluded with this one guy. And I started realizing that there were holes in this whole like lifestyle that I was trying to lead, and that I would probably not last very long if I wasn't about to put on more weight. I'd already put my body through so much. And oh, I forgot to mention, I had lost my cycle this whole time. From the beginning of the weight loss, I like lost my cycle. So it's like 2 years without my period. No big deal. Nobody's gotta know. I thought like, I mean, I was happy about not having a period. I didn't really think about the fact that, you know, my body's not doing what it fundamentally needs to be doing as a human being, as a woman. And so I started kind of getting into food blogs, and I was like really into like all of these weird like gluten-free, sugar-free, you know, diety kind of like healthy stuff on the internet. And And I was always watching Food Network at this point still. I wasn't eating any meat, any dairy, any eggs. I wasn't vegan because I'm vegan now, but I was not vegan then. I was just like very, very exclusive. Like I was not eating hardly anything. And I had this new job and I loved it. And one night I was out buying vitamins for myself because I was like, gosh, I'm not feeling too hot. You know, I'm eating all this healthy food now and I'm just not feeling very good. I'd already put on like, I think 20 pounds at that point on my own. But I kind of had stopped weighing because I was just like, didn't really know what to do. And I figured maybe that would help, but I was still obsessing and restricting and working out a lot. And I had gone to buy some vitamins because I was like, I'm not feeling too good. Maybe I'm like deficient something, like maybe a vitamin will help me, which like I bet just eating, sitting down and eating something would have helped me. So I go to Walgreens, buy some vitamins, I get in the car and I'm like freaking out about like whatever, my body, what I had eaten, blah, 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 blah. I had all these weird racing thoughts about food and my body and these vitamins and everything and anything. And I was sitting in the living room with my mom, we were watching TV and I was just having all these racing thoughts. I took two of the vitamins and I was just kind of thinking about food and my body and food and my body and food and my body and food and my body. And then all of a sudden, like, I just kind of felt like I got electrocuted. And everything kind of went black, tunnel vision-ish. And my whole body felt like it was on vibrate. And I thought that I was blacking out and dying. I was convinced. I was like, oh shit, I have finally malnourished myself to the point of death. And my mother is sitting here right here and she's going to watch me die. And I had had my first panic attack. And I went to the emergency room with my mom that night. And didn't pay off that bill for like a few years. Recently paid that off. I forgot about that. But and they were like, you look fine. They ran some blood work. They were like, you know, this is low and this is low and this is low, but that's normal. And girls, your size, like you're so skinny and blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, whatever. They were like, maybe it was your blood sugar. Maybe you had a panic attack. And so from that point on, I was like, started eating even more. Because I was like, oh God, it was my blood sugar. I need to keep my blood sugar up, blah, blah, blah. Which kind of saved my life in a sense, because you have to have food with you all the time to like keep your blood sugar up, to keep eating, to keep your blood sugar stable. But I kept having these panic attacks because I was obsessing over food constantly in my body, constantly in my new job, constantly. And it was just this terrible, depressing, crazy time for me. And it was so scary. I was scared. I felt like the world was on fire all the time. And if any of you guys know what anxiety and panic attacks feel like, I was having like visual disturbances so that everything I looked at looked like it was in a video game, almost like a Pixar movie. My brain was so like fucked up on like adrenaline all the time. And so I finally went to the doctor. My mom was like, you just need to go to my doctor. And I went to the doctor and she looked at my blood work from the emergency room. She looked at my labs and I think I even did more labs. And she, you know, listened to my little like spiel about like this and this and this and my weight loss and my pituitary and this and my exercise and my new vegan eating habits and health, and I just don't know what's going on. I keep having these episodes and I don't know if they're panic attacks or blood sugar problems or panic attacks brought on by low blood sugar or whatever, and la la la. And she just kind of stopped and she was like, okay, well, we can run, you know, the insulin tests and we can do like the blood sugar tolerance tests and whatever you need, but I don't think I'm going to get any answers because you're anorexic. My brain exploded. I think my brain exploded. I burst into tears because I was like shocked. And she was just like a stone cold like asshole. She was so rude about it. And I guess the tough love thing like works on some people because it definitely like scared the shit out of me. And that was a misdiagnosis at the time, I feel like, because I had honestly struggled with binge eating disorder. I'd struggled with orthorexia. I'd struggled with anorexia, bulimia, like all these different tendencies all wrapped into one EDNOS, which is eating disorder not otherwise specified. So to say that I had anorexia was really weird and hard on me, and I was really scared. And I'm not saying that I didn't have anorexic tendencies. I just really was struggling with disordered eating and also anxiety disorder. And I did not know any of that. But she didn't tell me any of that. She didn't care. She just said, you need to go see a dietitian and you need to go see a therapist and we need to get you medicated and we need to start your period. So she put me on the pill. She put me on Paxil. And guess what? I started feeling amazing. I felt so much better after that. Actually, I think I was on a bunch of like anxiety meds before Paxil that did not work for me. And don't get me wrong, I'm a super holistic person. I'm a health coach. I believe in the power of food and I believe in therapy for sure. But at this point, I was like having the worst thoughts because I couldn't think and I couldn't, like, the world would not stop, you know, vibrating long enough for me to eat a salad or eat a sandwich or anything. I couldn't do anything. I was just so absorbed in my anxiety, and my anxiety caused terrible stomach problems, and I was having diarrhea, and I was just like, I was a mess, and I hated my life, and I was crying all the time and didn't have my period and hardly had any friends. I did have a best friend. Her name was Addie. Hey, Addie, if you're listening. Anyway, life was miserable and I was ready to get it under control. So I started therapy, and I did really well. And I was also in college at this time. So I started college, started therapy. I was an art major, and I was making a lot of progress. I was doing really well. I was eating everything, anything. I was gaining. I did not have a scale, but I knew that, like, my dietitian was weighing me. I was doing so much counseling. My parents were talking about moving to Colorado Springs at this point, and I started a blog. I think I was 18. I started my blog. It was called Bliss Branch. And it was a place for me to just kind of go and talk about recovery and talk about all of these different things that I wanted to share with other people, because recovery blogs were really helpful to me whenever I was in that vulnerable state. It made me be like, oh, look, this person can actually, like, love food, and she can cook delicious, healthy food now, and she's not obsessive over it, and she's not orthorexic, and she's, like, balanced, and she's normal in my brain, and she looks amazing, and she says she feels amazing, and I just want to be a part of that. I want to be a voice to someone that needs me, and I don't even care. And it was kind of like my coming out to the people that I knew too, because I shared it on my Facebook wall, and everybody knew about that I had struggled with an eating disorder. I mean, I don't think it was a big surprise to most people, but that's what I was going through. I was openly recovering from it, and I had almost, like, totally gotten over this anxiety, the panic attacks at this point. They had gotten really, really far apart. What would really bring them on would be random things, like in the car, if I started having racing thoughts at night, driving, all the lights, those would make me, like, have random panic attacks. I'd have to pull over because I would be, like, freaking out, like, you know. And I had been invited to this New Year's party in New Year's Eve 2012. So I guess the new year was 2013 that was about to happen. And I didn't go to anything. I was super hermit. I would go to Barnes & Noble, which was my job. I worked full time, and I also went to school, and I kept to myself. And then I would go home, or I would hang out with my friend, and we went to Jason's Deli a lot. I mean, those are the only places that I went. Starbucks. I had quit smoking. I was just trying to get my shit together, hanging out with, you know, all those people that were bringing me down was just not going to serve me anymore. So I just stopped hanging out with anyone. I hung out with my mom a lot. Hey, Mom. So I went to this New Year's Eve party. My friend Stella invited me to, and me and Addie and her boyfriend went. And that's where I met Colin, my husband. He was there with his sister, Christy, and they were dancing, like, really awkwardly. And I remember, like, I hadn't been dating anybody at this point. I mean, I think I was going on a few dates with this guy that was actually a total fucker. I mean, I'm talking, like, we went to Five Guys and I didn't get anything because I had to have, like, really, really calm atmosphere to eat anything, because my stomach would just, like, go into full diarrhea mode. And I didn't know him very well, but he was, like, this babe, like, giant, like, Thor looking guy, and he was an athlete or mountain climber, I don't even know what he was. But we're sitting there, and he got this giant burger and fries, and he was like, he just looked up and he looks at this guy across the room, and he goes, I hate fat people. And he doesn't know anything about me. He doesn't know anything about my history. He doesn't know that I was overweight. And I just, like, look at him, and I'm like, excuse me? And he's like, I hate fat people. Like, they're just disgusting. And I was like, that is terrible. That's terrible. Why would you say that? And he was like, what? He was like, what? You don't even know. He was like, you're so skinny. Like, what are you, anorexic or something? And I remember being like, oh my God, never talking to you again. Anyway, so I think that was the only guy that I was, like, kind of dating at the time. And then another guy that had my same name, which was hilarious. But he was a total freak. So That was not cool. Sorry, Carson. Anyway, and so I met Colin that night. He was with his sister, Christy, who I thought was his girlfriend. I wasn't sure. And I also kind of thought Colin was there with another guy. So I couldn't decide if it was like, I was like, is that his girlfriend? No. He's actually a Dupree brother, I think. I don't know. There was like, I was talking to my friend about it, and the Duprees were like a thing in my town or whatever, which is hilarious now. But they were all in a band called Isley, or some of them were in a band called Isley, and the other ones were in a band called Merriment. And like, we knew who they were. I didn't really know Merriment's music. I knew Isley from being like 13 and jamming like their records. But other than that, like, I didn't know much about them. They were kind of elusive, pale, beautiful people, you know, and I didn't really know that much about them. I thought that they were like really involved in the church and stuff. And so I kind of tried to like stay away, because I was like, no, I'm totally corrupt. But so I approached Colin and his possible boy date that he was there with, because I was like, I have no idea about this guy. And Colin, I think he claims to have introduced himself, but I think I introduced myself. Either way, I hit him up on Facebook after that night, and I gave him my number. And I think I even was like, hey, dude, it was really nice to meet you last night. Yeah, we should hang out sometime. My friend Addie was like, don't call him dude. No, if you like think he's cute, don't call him dude. Anyway, he definitely hit me up, and we hung out instantly. We went on a little date. He didn't have a license or a car or anything. He had never been to school or anything, which was crazy. And so, like, I had to go pick him up, and we went to Chipotle, and I, you know, hardly ate anything. And I'm just, that really didn't stress me out that much, but I remember not having a panic attack on the date. And I remember thinking that was like a really amazing sign from God or something. I was like, what? I always have panic attacks. I didn't have a panic attack with this random guy. Like, he must be special. And I was journaling a lot of the time, and I remember going home and writing, like, I think Colin was put in my life for a big, big reason. Don't even know him at this point. I don't even know him. One date, took him back home. And then we went on another couple of dates that week, and we were getting kind of like super into each other, I think. And it's kind of fuzzy, but I went home one night, and then the next day I couldn't even get up and go to school. I was having the worst anxiety I'd ever had. I was having panic attack after panic attack after panic attack. I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't drive my car. Couldn't go outside. I think I showered and watched Harry Potter, and then like I was reading. I couldn't go to school. It was like 2 weeks of not leaving the house. It was this really dark time for me. And I finally had the courage to go out with a friend. We went out for coffee, and I was just like, I'm done. I'm just so done. And then this random stranger, like, approached me and was like, I have a message from you to you. And she was like, just started blabbing about my anxiety and all this like creepy, crazy, cool kind of stuff. And basically was like telling me she was healing me of my anxiety. I didn't even know her. I don't even know her. I still don't know who she is. And she disappeared, and I haven't had a panic attack since. That's some weird voodoo, crazy, cool story. That is spooky, even talking about it. But yeah, it could have been the medicine just happened to start working the next day, and I stopped having panic attacks. Or she could have been some angel witch. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like, was she Hermione? Who knows? I think she was. Anyway, and so Colin and I continued hanging out, and that summer we went on tour with his family and their bands, and I was really involved in the family, and they were great, and they really helped me with my recovery. Honestly, I was eating around people constantly. I gained whatever, a lot of weight, I think. I wasn't weighing myself at the time. I remember going to the doctor, and it was like at one point, because I had like serious stomach bug, and my weight was like 30 pounds higher than it was, you know, when we met. And I remember freaking out, but I was still so in love with him. Like, it didn't matter that much. And, my parents decided to move that year, and I moved in with Colin's family, and it was really stressful on us. I love them so much, but like, if you've ever lived with your in-laws or any parents of your significant other, then you'll know that it's just kind of an unhealthy place to be. I mean, we weren't sharing a room or anything, so that was even weirder to me. That was even harder. And we wanted to move out together before we got married or whatever. We knew we wanted to be married, but we decided to kind of respect his family's, like, you know, views and get married really young, and we still had a lot of like resistance with that, but we did end up getting married the next year. So we met New Year's 2013. We got engaged January 13, 2014, and we got married May 17th, 2014. Yeah. And we went on a bunch of tours throughout that year that I'm just not covering because they were like just a lot of fun and nothing hugely monumental happened. But I kept up with my blog, Bliss Branch, which I mentioned earlier. And I just kept blogging about, you know, body positivity. And I kept posting on Instagram. And his family kind of had a following. So I kind of got a lot of following from them. And it was just so great to get that message out to everyone. And when we got married that summer, I did a closet sale on the internet and on Instagram. And I made like so much money. And I was working this terrible restaurant job at the time, and Colin was working for this electric company in Tyler. And he, like I said, he hadn't gone to school, so he didn't have like a ton of skills besides, I mean, he does. I'm not saying he doesn't. He totally does. He literally knows how to do everything, and he's like the best musician I know. But for like an easy day job, he didn't really like have a ton of, you know, experience. So he started working with his brother, this electric company in Tyler, and it was really great for us. And I'm so grateful that he was able to do that. But we were miserable, and he kept getting injured on the job. And it was just like, it was so scary. His brother had heat stroke or whatever a few times, and it was really bad. And it caused a lot of stress, and he worked really weird hours. I was working this horrible restaurant job. I was finding it really impossible to just kind of like find balance with food. I was really having a hard time with my body. And I decided to start selling vintage. After that Instagram sale, I was like, I love interacting with people this way. I love selling vintage clothes. I'm going to start doing that. And so I started slowly but surely selling more and more vintage. I created an online shop. So Bliss Branch had the blog, and I also had an online shop called Bliss Branch. And it was all vintage and handmade things. I started collecting different things from a local businesses in Tyler, Texas, where I'm from. And we just started doing these things called Bliss Boxes, which were like carefully curated boxes of different goodies for people. And they were customizable for whoever ordered. They would fill out a survey, and then I would personally kind of fetch everything and throw it all together. And it was a great idea, and I really loved it. But I was getting them by the hundreds, and I like couldn't keep up. It was taking over my house, and I was really so stressed about it. And within our first year of marriage, I also gained 30 pounds, and I didn't know about it because I had become so out of touch with my body signals again, because I dieted for my wedding. I didn't mention that. I forgot. But yeah, I kind of crash dieted for my wedding. I was eating nothing but boiled eggs and smoothies and salads, and gross. And whenever I started eating like a human again, I was on a tour, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. No more boiled eggs. And I had gotten a stomach bug. And whenever I got better, I was like, I'm going to eat a fucking sandwich. Fucking stop me. And I did. And then I feel like nothing stopped after there. And I just kind of lost touch with my body signals, and I had already lost touch. So I had to kind of start being intuitive again. And I tried a lot of different things at the beginning. I just tried a lot of weird, trendy, like paleo, Whole30 kind of things. I mean, never eating meat, but like, you know, just lots of eggs and avocados and salads and stuff. And Bliss Branch was, you know, growing still, and I was just kind of starting to resent it. I was really stressed. I couldn't really hire anyone. Like, all of the money that I was making just wasn't making me happy. It was just stressing my shit out. And so I, you know, kind of consulted some friends who were working as bloggers, who work as bloggers and authors and whatever. And I was just expressing my like, I don't know what to do. I feel like at this point I would not buy a Bliss box. Like, I resent them so much. I would not buy them. So I don't feel as passionate about them. And I really just want to focus on music. So in December of 2014, my husband and I started making our own music together under the name of Fortunes, which we have changed now to Wildernessa. And it became like the coolest thing to us, for me. And it's been so fun. So with writing on the blog, kind of started losing love for that, and I started falling in love with music. I just couldn't keep up with the retail side of Bliss Branch, and I was just kind of drowning, and I didn't want to hire anyone, and we also wanted to move to Nashville, which is where we live now. So there was all this crazy stuff going on within our first year of marriage, and we kind of just, it was too much for us. And then I just kind of slowed down Bliss Branch. And I was like, I don't know what to do with Bliss Branch. I don't want to do vintage. I don't want to blog right now. I'll just keep posting pictures on Instagram. None of my stuff. And then whenever that started happening, I started losing the love for it, is whenever the sales started dropping. Because, I mean, I just believe that this, that's the way the universe works, you know? You got to put good energy into something. And if you believe it'll happen, it'll happen. But if you don't believe it's going to work anymore, if you're not passionate about it, it's not going to fucking happen. So it stopped happening, honestly. And I was just like, I don't even care. I'd enrolled in school whenever I had gained the weight. I was like, I hate all these weird diety things that I keep trying to do. I just want to find balance and I want to learn more about myself in the process. So I enrolled at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition to become a health coach, which I am now. An integrative health coach. And so I became more passionate about health, and I was trying to fit Bliss Branch into this weird like health blog, Bliss Branch, vintage clothing, music, what the fuck kind of blog, and it just didn't make any sense. And so we moved to Nashville. We encountered a lot of just crazy. We worked part-time jobs. We kind of stopped doing vintage. We tried to do Bliss boxes again, but we were so passionate about music and all these new people we were meeting that that is what we wanted to focus on. You know, we started networking and finding new friends, and everything was just kind of falling into place for us to start focusing on music and kind of just start focusing on different things. So we did. We just focused on music. We finally finished and released our new EP at the beginning of this year, after going through so much when we first moved here. And we moved here August 2015. So that whole time between that December of, you know, starting our band 2014 to August 2015, we had been doing really well with music, and we had really wanted to, you know, made the move to Nashville, and we were living with his sister while our house was getting ready. We found a really great house. The house became infested with mold, or was infested with mold, so we had to move again. And so all the financially draining aspects of everything set us back, because moving across country is so draining. We really just wanted to focus on the things that we were passionate about, and I was just no longer passionate about Bliss Branch, Bliss boxes, and trying to make my recovery from an eating disorder blog into everything that my new blog is, which is way more. Our new blog is a lifestyle blog. So it's everything from like our veganism to our music to wellness, home decorations, like everything that we are passionate about in one space. And so that's what I wanted from the moment I met Colin, I feel like, with my blogging. And it is so rewarding to finally have that clarity. And it was really, really hard for me because I got a lot of backlash. I got a lot of negative feedback. And it was, and I'm one of those people where it's like, I have such a tiff. I have such a tough skin on the like outside when you're with me in person. And I like act like I'm like super hardcore. Like, you know, I can take anything. Like I'll swear, I'll do anything. I'll, you know, pose in a bikini, whatever, body positive. But I still have my days where I am like, you are so not enough, Carson. Your body is not enough. You are not thin enough to be a blogger. You are not thin enough to be a health coach. You are not healthy enough. Like you have anxiety. You are all the blah, 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 all this negative self-talk that I still have to combat sometimes. And whenever you get this backlash from this group of like really hateful people on the internet, like about everything you're doing and how you're doing it wrong and how you're so annoying and you're gross and the mole on your face is ugly, or your boobs are so small and flat, like did you have breast cancer, like people say these things to me, and they can set me back if I'm having a bad day. And so I've really had to, you know, be present with myself and just realize that like this is me, and I'm gonna do anything it takes to make, you know, my personal, you know, lifestyle the way that I want it to be. Like I want to do what I'm passionate about and nothing else. And if that means hustling on the side, like that's what I'm going to have to do. Like I run social media for different companies here in Nashville, like local companies. And we'll actually be talking to some of the owners of those companies on the podcast because they're just incredible people. And they're always women. And so whenever I was getting that negative backlash, and I really like kind of stumbled across it on the internet, and it was just, and I get it all the time, I realize that these people don't get my message. They don't understand what I've been through. They have no respect for what I'm doing and trying to help other people do, which is follow their hearts, follow their dreams, and realize that they are enough. You are enough, guys. Are you listening? You're enough. And this podcast is going to take you to those spaces that are kind of uncomfortable, and you're going to be able to listen to women's stories who have overcome so much and are living the lives they want. Yeah, maybe your bank account will suffer a little bit. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever that means to you. Maybe you will sacrifice some things, and maybe you won't come out on top in every area of your life. But finding the thing that you're most passionate about and really just killing it, chasing it, doing everything you can for it is so rewarding. And you will attract the success that you need, the success that your heart desires, the success that your intuition desires. It'll come to you. If you follow that gut feeling, you can land in the right place. You'll land there. You'll find it. You'll work for it. Working for things does not. Okay. So there's a difference between just like something falling in your lap and then you working your ass off for it because you know that's what you want and you getting it. Because whenever the universe finally wants to kind of like give it to you, you'll know. And I know that might not make a ton of sense, but we're going to be speaking with so many amazing women, and they're going to share their insight on spirituality and their journeys to where they are now when it comes to, like, I don't know, feminism, being an entrepreneur, being a girl boss. Haha. Quote, there's a little hint. All these different things that are going to be coming to the podcast just for you, because I know that you may have a story that's a lot like mine. Your story may be super different. You may be a mom of like three kids and you may be working full time, but don't worry. We're going to get those stories to you. We're going to get that information and we're going to get that insight to you, because we need to grow. And sometimes you need help. And podcasts, listening to some inspirational women's podcasts has really been what's helped me throughout all of this in times that I'm not in therapy and stuff. It's really just helped me get that inner self-talk on lock. Self-talk on lock? Hey. And, you know, work toward what I know my intuition is yearning for. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Wilder Podcast, my first episode of me kind of rambling on it, of my introduction of my history, my business, my body image issues, my kind of touching on my music, and then the reason that I started this podcast in the first place, how podcasts have helped me so immensely in the past and in the present, and how I just am constantly inspired by multiple podcasts. And I really hope that this can be a tool for you and to get this message to your ears and different people, different perspectives, and kind of just open your eyes and open your heart and let your intuition kind of just, I don't know, steer your path. And we're going to only work towards doing that on this podcast. And maybe kind of talking about some controversial shit that maybe you need to know about, maybe you want to know about, maybe you want to hear about. Different voices, different women, different paths, different passions. It's all coming to you on the Wilder Podcast. If you want to help out the podcast in any way, I've made it possible so that you can. I know that a lot of podcasts work with like Patreon and things, but I've created a little donation button on the show notes on the blog post on wildernessa.com, our blog. So it's WLDRNESSA.com. I know that you're probably listening to this podcast on iTunes or something, but it is available on the website for you to get. Also, literally donating $1 an episode, that would be so amazing. Or less, I don't know. It's whatever you want. If you want to help out, if you don't, if you just want to like bask in all of the inspiration that I'm going to give your way, that's fine too. I just wanted to let you know that by having some sort of funding for this podcast, I'm able to be able to reach out to different people, so many different people, so many different inspirational women, to bring their stories your way, and anything helps. So I love you guys so much. This has been an amazing little episode, my little rant. It wasn't a rant, but kind of just a blurb for an hour. Thanks for listening. Can't wait for for you to hear my guest next week. Love you guys.